Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from Matthew 22:15-22 in the NRSV. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away.
Holy Spirit, illumine for us this word, that the message of the gospel may come down to us in power. Amen. There's something deeply uncomfortable, especially for us as Americans, about any suggestion that maybe we don't deserve what we have. That the things that we have, like, we've worked for it, right? So, and because of that, we want to control it. It's hard to let any of it go because no one else would spend it as wisely as we do. And I hear complaints like that sometimes about charitable giving, like, where's this money actually going? Who, how are they actually spending it? Are they going to buy the right kind of food? Are they going to, do something else with it? So those complaints. But if you really want to stir someone up, start a conversation about taxes. And even better, bring up how taxes pay for social programs, like SNAP. The Supplemental Nutrition Access Program, housing or medical assistance, student loans, Social Security. But moaning about taxes is hardly limited to 21st century Americans. Taxes and government spending was one of the biggest issues facing the original 13 colonies that led to the Revolutionary War. Those cries of taxation without representation, those were protests about having to pay taxes to Great Britain without receiving any benefits or even having a say in how those funds were managed. But if we go back even further, the Jewish people in Jerusalem during the first century were also having those kinds of issues. Palestine, Israel, was a colony of the Roman Empire. Sure, they're allowed to go to temple to worship. They can, sort of come and go as they please and everything. But the people were paying exorbitant taxes to support the Roman capital and the very army and government that was oppressing them. So they were paying for the privilege of being oppressed. And our scripture passage for today shows that the conflicts the people in Jesus' time were having when it came to dealing with oppressive, greed-filled governments and society, Jesus has a response for that. And Jesus' response surpasses time and location. When it comes to parting with our resources, our biggest issue is forgetting who all of this stuff really belongs to in the first place. The passage begins with the Pharisees sending their disciples and some Herodians out to trick Jesus. Remember, the Pharisees were religious leaders, and they were committed to following the letter of the law, the letter of the Jewish law. And because of that, none of the Pharisees were real thrilled about the Romans. There were different factions of Pharisees that had different approaches on how to deal with it all. Like, some went as far as advocating for a full-on armed revolt, and there were others that promoted a more of a live and let live policy. Now, the Herodians were also Jewish, but they were very much in support of Rome. They served the Roman government. They had no problems benefiting from the occupation. If it's not obvious, the overlap of where the Pharisees and the Herodians agreed came down to exactly one issue. Jesus must go. Like, when I say that these two groups, the Pharisees and the Herodians, weren't fond of each other, just picture, think about Marjorie Taylor Greene and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez sharing a friendly dinner together. The only way that I can see that happening is if there is one issue that they agreed upon and were passionate about. So, the Herodians and the Pharisees' disciples, they butter Jesus up. They give him some sickly sweet, possibly insincere flattery. And then they ask their question. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? They're not looking for a dialogue. They've dropped an impossible yes or no question in a blatant attempt to trap him. I'm sure a lot of people listening at the time, and even today, wanted Jesus to say, "No, don't pay this tax." The taxes they were paying weighed really, like, they were so weighty. They were so heavy on people who were already struggling and impoverished. But if Jesus says no in front of the Herodians, they're going to report him to the Roman authorities for being an instigator. And there were plenty of people in the crowd who hoped that Jesus would say, yes, pay taxes to the Romans. Several years before this, there was a revolt that resulted in the death of many, many people. And they were surely afraid that something similar was going to happen again. But if Jesus says yes in front of the religious leaders, he'll be stoned for going against God's law. He's in an impossible situation. But our Jesus, we know better. Instead of answering directly, Jesus does what he does, and he asks to see a coin that's used to pay the tax. Jesus doesn't have a single coin in his pocket to even use as a prop. He has to ask for one. And what he's given is something akin to what you see on the screen. There's an image on one side of Caesar with the inscription, Tiberius Caesar Divi Augusti Filius Augustus Pontifex Maximus. And I know you all know what that means, but I'll translate it for you just in case. Tiberius Caesar Augustus, son of the divine Augustus, high priest. This coin is assigning divinity, godship, to the emperor. The Pharisees see this inscription as blasphemous. It's a violation of the first and the second commandments. And it's one of the reasons that you're not supposed to use these coins at all. Yet, someone there was in possession of a coin to be able to give to Jesus. Jesus holds it up and he looks at it like he's never seen it before. Oh man, there seems to be someone's picture on this coin. Who is that? I wonder if Jesus really didn't know who was pictured, or maybe, like any good lawyer, was asking the question to which he already knew the answer. Well, it's Caesar, of course. Huh. Well, this coin is so important to Caesar that he put his face on it. We should probably give it back to him. But we often forget, we hear a lot, the render unto Caesar belongs to Caesar. But we often forget the arguably more important part of Jesus' answer. Render unto God the things that belong to God. I have a feeling that Jesus isn't talking about taxes here. And so it's at this point that we're prodded to ask, what does belong to God? If the things that belong to Caesar are stamped with his image, what's stamped with God's image? And how do we give it back? Well, each one of us bear God's image. Just the way that the palm of God's hand bears our image. Caesar can print his own face on silver and gold, but what exists in his image is paltry compared to what exists in God's image. And what's due to God is more than coins. What's due to God is our wholehearted devotion and service. Caesar may be able to control the people, but he can't create them. He can't inspire them, move them, work in and through and amongst them. That's a power that only God has. Caesar can put his face on all the coins in the world, and all he'll have is a bunch of metal engraved with his likeness. He won't have the true gratitude that comes from knowing and loving God, or knowing and loving others that are created in God's image. When we're more concerned about accumulating coins and determining which coins belong to who than remembering how much God has given us, we run into a little bit of a problem. So Jesus says, let Caesar have his little coins, but let the people of God decide today whom they serve. Let the followers of God today decide that what we have, what we are, what we do, it all comes from God and it all goes to God, the one who knew us before we were even born. So let us ask this week and forever, really, what am I grateful for that belongs to God? And how can I put those things back in the hands of the one in whose image I am created? Amen.